And now one of those stories that makes you think, what have I done lately? For more than a decade, 59-year-old Benedictine monk Father Columbus Stewart has been traveling to some of the world's most dangerous places to help locals photograph about 140,000 ancient manuscripts, about 50 million pages in all. And with the rise of ISIS, his work has become even more urgent and risky. Father Stewart is the director of the nonprofit Hill Museum and Manuscript Library based at St. John's Abbey and University in Collegeville, Minnesota. We came across his work in a recent article in The Atlantic. Father Columba, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about some of these manuscripts. What do they look like? What do they say?
Oh, they look like every possible thing. We've worked with manuscripts as various as palm leaf archival material in India to beautiful illuminated manuscripts that we found in Iraq.
Illuminated? What does that mean?
So beautiful illustrations, which tell you something about the culture, not only in terms of how they interpret a story, say, from the Bible, but also how they view the world and how they depict reality in their art. So a lot of the manuscripts are pretty unremarkable. They're simply a way of preserving a text. So the average person may look at it and say, well, I expected a Book of Hours or something with lots of gold. But to the scholar, of course, these things can be gold because it might be the only copy of a text that's otherwise lost, or a translation of a text from another language, which tells you something about how ideas and writings flow from one culture to another. So you really never know what you're going to find until somebody takes the time to read it.
What are some of the things that made you say, I cannot believe I'm seeing this?
So here's an example. There's a history of the world that was preserved in a 15th century manuscript. The text actually dates from the 12th century, but the only copy we have of it in the original Syriac language was a 15th century manuscript. And that manuscript was in southeast Turkey, and it was taken from Turkey to Syria in 1923 when the Christian population of a certain city had to leave, and they went to Aleppo for safety. That manuscript tells the story of Christians in the Middle East and what happened to them when the Crusaders arrived from Europe to liberate the Holy Land and to claim it back for Christians. And, of course, it was the local Christians who took the heat in response. So we read that kind of story, and it makes us look at some of the current events perhaps with different eyes.
And there's always been a threat that these kinds of documents, rare manuscripts, will be destroyed. But that's been increasing in the last decade and a half because of the rise of militant groups and, of course, ISIS. Do you feel that pressure?
We feel that pressure all the time. We started the current round of our work around the time that I became the director in 2003, working in Lebanon. So we've seen the dissolution of the Middle East, as it has been known now for decades, just in the time that we've been working. And the work we're currently doing in Mali in West Africa with the manuscripts of Timbuktu is another place which experienced a very sudden dislocation with the appearance of a kind of Islamist and nationalist uprising in the north of Mali and the evacuation of manuscripts. None of these things could have been foreseen. So in a way, it was really extraordinarily providential that we were working where we were, or that there were people on the ground who belonged to these cultures who had the foresight to move things before it was too late.
Yeah. So here you go, trying to train locals to do the photography. Why don't you ask to do some of it?
A lot of these communities have long memories. And they remember what happened in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries when Europeans came and took their manuscripts. And that's what makes the great manuscript libraries of Europe now. So they are often rightfully suspicious toward the foreigner who shows up with an interest in their manuscript heritage. So we're trying to do it a different way. We're trying to bring our expertise to these local communities so that they have the privilege and also a paying job of working to preserve their own cultural heritage.
But then even after they've been photographed, many have been destroyed. Now, I'm just imagining you must have tremendous mixed emotions. You just relief that they had been photographed. But these aren't the same as the pieces of parchment that were held by hands hundreds of years ago.
So I suppose the analogy, not to over-dramatize, would be looking at a photograph of a loved one who's no longer with us. The picture is precious. It's a reminder, but it obviously is only a stand-in for the person. And the same is true even of high-quality digital images. They're great for scholars to work with. But a manuscript not only has a kind of almost sacred power when you hold it, but there are also things about the physical object that it will only tell you if you hold it in your hand. You get a better sense of how it's actually put together. You have a closer encounter with the binding structure. You can examine more closely the fabrics or papers or old leaves of manuscripts that they've used to hold the manuscript together. And then there's also the value of seeing a manuscript as part of a collection or a library.
And where are some of these, by the way?
You find them in monasteries. You'll find them in churches. In some cases, they are family libraries, which have been kept often for centuries because there was a scholar at some point in the history of the family, and they've kept them, as is true of some of the Muslim families we've worked with in Jerusalem. Sometimes they're hidden deliberately behind a false bookcase, and then there's a secret door, and beyond that is a marvelous room full of manuscripts. So we've really seen just about every possible form of storage.
So how do you convince people who, as you said, might be hesitant about somebody coming from the West to see their sacred manuscripts? How do you convince them to do this?
Well, you don't make a cold call. First of all, we try to learn where there might be important manuscript collections that need to be preserved, either because they might be in danger or because they're so important that scholars really want to see them. So then we try to figure out who could be an introducer or an influencer, a member of that community, maybe a scholar who is trusted by them, and that's the bridge. And then I'll go and meet them and try to establish my own personal relationship with them.
Who are some of these people? Who are you meeting?
Sometimes it's a member of a family. In the case of these libraries in Jerusalem, they are the current generation of these very ancient and prominent families. In other cases, it might be a more remote location, and you're working with a monk or a bishop or a local person who hasn't traveled extensively, may not know a lot of foreigners. You're working through an interpreter. But in every instance, it's a matter of their being convinced that we respect them, even if we don't understand or know everything about their culture, and that we are not in it for any kind of personal profit.
Yeah. Does it help that you're a Benedictine monk?
You know, it does help a lot. So with Eastern Christians, if they see me turning up in my black Benedictine habit, that signifies. And it sort of softens the fact that I come as a representative of the United States, which is not always the card to lead with in some of these places. With Muslims, I think there's also a deep respect for people whom they view as having a commitment to a religious tradition. And they understand that Benedictines have a tradition of learning. We're known as being people who throughout the Middle Ages kept copying manuscripts. And even in the modern era, were very much involved in the beginnings of modern manuscript studies. And somehow that aspect of what you might call the Benedictine brand is very widely diffused, and it's sometimes recognized in the most unexpected places.
Do you ever find yourself wondering as you are, you know, walking a long road towards the next place where you're going to try to convince someone, do you ever start thinking, what am I doing?
You know, I don't. The founder of our project, Father Oliver, in the 1960s, went from monastery to monastery in an Austrian winter trying to find one abbot who was willing to let these Americans come and microfilm their manuscripts. So when I get a little tired or weary, I think of Father Oliver trudging through the snow from big monastery to big monastery. And he had no idea what the future would bring, if there'd be war again in Europe, but he had a sense that this is what we should be doing. And I have that same sense. And I think we've learned since 2003 that you never know when the next thing might happen. Syria is a good example. Everyone told us when we started working there in 2004, it was the most secure and safe country in the Middle East. And look what happened.
Yeah. Father Columba Stewart, a Benedictine monk and director of the not-for-profit Hill Museum and Manuscript Library based at St. John's Abbey and University in Collegeville, Minnesota. 50 million pages of manuscripts have been photographed because of his efforts. Father Stewart, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And this note, last week in the battle over Mosul in Iraq, ISIS burned the Antiquities Museum, hundreds of rare books and manuscripts reduced to ash. For more on Father Stewart's nonprofit, go to hearandnow.org.